Chapter 1. London. Stella stared at the bloody lump of flesh and wondered what it meant. If you wanted a man to keep a secret, removing his tongue would do it, but why do it after he was dead? Again, the answer presented itself. Because you wanted somebody else, maybe the whole world, or your part of it, to know he squealed when he shouldn't have. But what on earth could Tomas Bromley, an elderly Swedish ex-diplomat, say that would be worth killing for? Any political or business secrets he may once have possessed would surely be out of date now. And if he'd been an intelligence operative, the Swedes would have arrested and prosecuted him for breaching whatever their version of the Official Secrets Act was. The former ambassador was 79. Stella didn't write off the possibility of a jealous lover, though the odds were against it. Would a woman scorned really procure and use a firearm? And what about the business with the tongue? If it had been a woman, Stella would have expected any post-mortem mutilation to have taken place south of there. The other possibility was a religious maniac. Stella puffed out her cheeks and tugged on her ponytail, running the thick hank of brown hair through her clenched fist until it hurt. Motive would have to wait. Facts were more important. This felt like a targeted hit rather than a random or chaotic killing. Bromley had been shot dead, probably by a handgun. The killer would have needed planning, considerable forethought, and the smarts to get hold of an illegal weapon. She stared at the tongue. The tattered root, far from being neatly severed, had clearly been wrenched out. Blood had stained the open pages on which it rested. Stella turned to the nearest CSI.
"Any chance you could remove the tongue?" she asked. "I'd really like to take a look at the Bible."
The CSI shook his head.
"Sorry, Mum. The pathologist said to leave it. He had to go back to the mortuary. Said he'd be back by 3.
Stella checked her watch. 5:02. She began a walkthrough of the apartment. She'd called her estate agent brother-in-law earlier to ask him what flats in Upper Brook Street went for. Jason told her two-bed apartments went for 3 or 4 million. The most expensive sale in the previous 12 months had been for 18. The room she'd just entered was huge, at least 30 feet by 40. Standing in a corner on a deep red Turkish carpet was a full-sized grand piano. A wall of large plate glass windows gave onto Hyde Park. She saw trees waving in the wind outside. She walked over to the piano, a Bechstein. A double spread of sheet music lay open on the stand above the keyboard. Stella read the title. Piano Trio No. 4 in C Major by Franz Berwald. A Swedish-sounding name. Natural for an expat to feel nostalgic for his homeland, however happily settled he might be in his adopted country. She surveyed the paintings and drawings on the walls. Art had never been her thing, but she could recognise quality when she saw it, and these works were very definitely quality. Strike that. These were quality. At the window she looked out across the park. A pair of mounted police officers trotted along one of the paths through the park, their chestnut horses steadfastly ignoring the waving tourists trying to distract them for selfies. She tried to bring this elderly Swede into sharper focus. A cultured man, a wealthy man, a man who, though retired from the diplomatic service, had stayed in England. Had he enemies? Did senior diplomats live the sort of lives where they pissed people off badly enough to want them dead? Why not? Anyone could. Until you added in the wild card of the tongue. Tongues had two main jobs, as far as Stella could see, eating and talking, maybe 3 if you included their erotic potential. You could eat without a tongue, she supposed, if only soup and liquids. You could kiss, do all the things people get up to behind closed doors. But talking? No, that came to a stop.